Well, we're going to look at a simple verse today, one verse in the Psalms, and you probably already know what we're going to look at because you sang about it a couple times today. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to see here four truths that will help us make every day a God-gladdened day and a God-honoring day. So you can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 118, 24 if you want to. You don't need to turn there because I know you've got this memorized. You've sang it over and over today. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Four parts to it. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're going to see four truths. First of all, this is the day. Today is the day. It is a present day. It is a present day. Notice the term is. He does not say this was the day or this will be the day. He says today is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. Today is a gift from God. That's why we call it the present. Today is the only day we have. Tomorrow is only a possible hope. I have no guarantee of tomorrow. And you have no guarantee of tomorrow. But we do have today. Adrian Rogers notes that it's easy to crucify today between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. Some folks are plagued by yesterday. Past guilt. And it eats at them and it gnaws at them. And they're burdened by past guilt. And I say, confess your sin. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Confess your sin. Accept God's forgiveness, and then forget the sin and focus on God. Some people are plagued by past grudges. They are burned at someone. They're angry at someone. They're hurt by someone. They're wounded by someone, and they just can't get over it. And I say to them, forgive it, forget it, bury it, and move forward. The scripture tells us that we can leave that in God's hands. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Give it over to God. Some people plagued by past guilt, some plagued by past grudges, some plagued by past grief. Hurt, a loss, a deep loss of a loved one. Turn to God. Trust in Him. Acknowledge His presence in your life. Acknowledge His care for your life. Acknowledge His goodness. Acknowledge the fact that regardless of what happens, He is with you, He cares for you, and He can take anything, anything, and somehow bring some good out of it for you and for His glory. Some folks plagued by past guilt, past grudges, past grief. Some plagued by past glory. They're still living in the past. How great things used to be. How wonderful it was. It must have been the golden age. Forget it. Whether that past glory was the glory of some company you had or some church you were involved in or some situation you had or some achievement you had. Maybe it was you, the past glory that you had, and I just say, put away the Superman outfit and move on. Some folks are plagued by yesterday. Some folks are paralyzed by tomorrow. They fear the future. They're so worried about what might happen if they do something wrong that they don't do anything. They're so worried about what might happen that they want to hide from reality. They want to avoid decisions. They want to mask their and so they mask their fears with drugs or alcohol or they worry themselves sick. God speaks to this issue in Matthew 6, 34, and he tells us that God gives us sufficient troubles to keep us dependent upon him. He gives us sufficient strength to handle those troubles today. The troubles we have today. But if we reach into tomorrow and start thinking about the troubles, the hardships, the decisions, the difficulties, the trials we might face tomorrow, and we try to bring those burdens in today, we don't have the grace for that. We don't have the strength for that, because God isn't giving us the grace for tomorrow's troubles. He's just giving us the grace for today's troubles, and I don't need tomorrow's troubles to sap me of today's strength. I like what the old songwriter said. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. So I know he's got tomorrow. He's got that covered. But he's promised me grace for today and strength for the day and rest from the trial and help from above. So I need to turn to him and trust in him. I like what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, 7. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not alone. Jesus Christ is with you, and you don't have to bear that burden alone. You don't have to handle that decision alone. You don't have to carry that weight on your own. You can cast it off of your shoulders onto the very capable shoulders of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is able to help, and he is willing to help. He's ready to take those burdens, those worries, those cares. Are you ready to give them to him? Are you willing to cast them off your shoulders onto his? Don't let regrets over yesterday paralyze you. Don't let worries over tomorrow paralyze you. Live this day, moment by moment, in the conscious awareness that Jesus Christ is with you and he will help you. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is a blank check. Today is the only cash you have, so spend it wisely. Taking one moment at a time, one step at a time, one day at a time. Live in the moment, because this is the day the Lord has made. So it's a present day. Secondly, it's a providential day. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day it is a God-designed day. It is a providential day. God is the Lord over today. Therefore, we can rejoice and be glad, because we know that our Father knows what is best. And if he designed this day, he has designed it for our best. We know that he is the blessed controller of all things. And because we know our God is a God of grace and a God of power and a God of love, we can trust him. We know that our God is sovereign. Not a leaf falls without his permission. Not a sparrow hungers without his notice. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows all things actual and all things possible. Nothing can happen that God does not either cause to happen or allow to happen. And he allows us to experience some of the hurts and heartaches of a world that is sick, a world that is sinful, a world that has turned its back on God, and people who've turned their back on God. And as a result of sin in this world, we live in a sin-cursed, sick world that has disease and difficulty and hardship and hurt and bitterness and anger and murder and jealousy and people wanting their own way. But we know that God can work all things together for our good and for his glory. We're told that in Romans 8, 28. He is wise and he knows what is best. So he knows what we need better than we do. Now, sometimes I feel like I know what would be best, but I actually know, down deep, he knows better than I do. He's wise enough to know what is best. He is loving enough to want what is best. God actually loves you and wants what is best for you. So you can be sure that he has your best interest at heart. Thirdly, he is powerful enough to do what is best. Our God is not weak or limited or unable to handle whatever situation we face. Nor is he surprised by any situation we face. He knows. He knows. There's a song about that. We hear on the radio quite often. He knows. And so we can turn to him and trust him. Even when things look bleak, we know our God is still on the throne. And even in times of heartache, our God is worthy of our trust. Just yesterday, I officiated in a funeral of a friend that I'd known for 46 years. And he had MS the whole time I knew him. Walked for a while, then was on crutch, then on wheelchair and scooter for the last over 44 years. Getting more limited and more limited because any new carpet, he couldn't handle. Any new paint, he couldn't handle. The fumes from it make his legs go numb, he couldn't walk. Sometimes his whole body would go numb. But he had a brilliant mind. Master's in counseling, master in theology, master in library science, doctor of ministry. A lifelong student of the Bible. His Bible is so worn, it's practically fallen apart. And as you know, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. But anyhow, this guy had amazing grace in trials. He continued to be faithful. He continued to trust God. He continued to be joyful in spite of incredible limitations. He couldn't even get out of his home the last, 3 years. Didn't leave his home. Amazing. And the reason he was so faithful is because his God was so faithful and he believed that. And we need to believe that. David Spurr reflects the heart of faith when he writes this. What looks like an accident when seen through human eyes is really God at work again, God at work in us, his blessing in disguise. We can't muster up the kind of faith that my friend Steve had or that we're talking about here. We need God's help. We need God's grace. We need God's power to walk by faith. And faith, how do we get that kind of faith? Well, Romans says, faith comes by hearing and heeding the Word of God. Hearing and obeying the Word of God. The more you listen to the Word of God, and the more you respond to the Word of God, the greater your faith is, and the more your faith grows. It's strengthened through time in the Word, and it's strengthened through prayer. There's a Helen Steiner Rice. I like a lot of her stuff, and she has a little Good Morning God poem. You're ushering in another day, untouched and freshly new. So here I come to ask you, God, if you'll renew me too. Forgive the many errors that I made yesterday, and let me try again, dear God, to walk closer in your way. But Father, I'm well aware I can't make it on my own. So take my hand and hold it tight, for I can't walk alone. Have you come to that place where you realize that you are desperately dependent upon God for his grace in your life? Or are you still thinking, hey, I can do it on my own. Pull up myself by my own bootstraps. I'll clench my fists. I'll square my shoulders. I'll steel my jaw. And I'm going to be a godly man. And I'm going to be victorious. And you know what? Bam. You cannot do it on your own. None of us can. We desperately need God's grace. And so I hope you're there. Whether sunshine or rain, whether happiness or heartache, this is the day the Lord has made. It's a providential day. Accept it as a God-provided, God-designed day. Regardless of what you have to face, God is still on the throne and worthy of our trust. So this is the day. It's a present day. It's the day the Lord has made. It's a providential day. So we will rejoice. We will rejoice. It is a precious day. We can rejoice. Rejoice because this day is a gift. from God. Do you realize every day you get is a gift from God? It's a precious commodity in time, opportunity to live, to laugh, and to love. Time to study, time to witness, time to pray. We all have the same amount of time. You realize that? I don't care who you are. We have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours. Or if you want to go in minutes, we all have 1,440 minutes in a day. Or if you want to go in seconds, we all have 86,000 seconds. Boy, that sounds fast to me. That's what we've got in a day. And it does go fast. We all have the same amount of time, and we're stewards of the time that God has given to us. We are responsible for how we use that time. Today, it's an opportunity to live for God, and so we rejoice because God has given us another day to live for Him, another day to honor Him, another day to draw closer to Him, another day to serve Him, another day to tell others about Him. It's a precious day, so don't waste life. Don't waste time. We're stewards of our time, our talents, and our treasures. But we sometimes fail to realize how important time is. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17 says, redeem the time. Redeem, to redeem means to buy out. It's like our time is would normally, if we just let things go on their own, our time would be consumed by selfishness and sin and Satan. But we can buy it out of that. We can redeem it for others, for God, for life. The Bible also challenges us to make the most of every opportunity. And the only way to make the most of every opportunity is to make the most of today. You can't think, boy, it's going to be a great opportunity tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Are you getting the most out of life? Is your life a life of rejoicing? Are your days filled with joy? Our attitude is the key. We can blame or we can bless. We can be bitter or we can be better. We can resign or we can rejoice. To rejoice is a choice. I'm going to say that again. To rejoice is a choice. Our attitude is the key, and the key to a positive attitude is an intimate walk with God and a confident trust in God. An anonymous poet put it this way, we mutter and sputter, we fume and we spurt. We mumble and grumble, our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things, our vision grows dim, when all that we need is communion with Him. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your focus. It'll change your perspective. It'll change your life. The mark of wisdom is the desire and ability to live life for God one day at a time. I love how the psalmist says, Lord, teach us to number our days. Help us apply our hearts to wisdom. My grandmother shared a poem with me that has constantly challenged me. I have only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. It is only just a minute, but their eternity is in it. You realize that? That's how we're living, 1 minute at a time. In Psalm 90, as I mentioned, the psalmist says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. To be able to squeeze the most out of every day. And how do you do that? Well, you start the day out with God. When you wake up, it can be, good Lord, morning. Or when you wake up, it can be, good morning, Lord. This is a brand new day you've given me. How I love you. How I'm thankful for this new life, this new gift, this new day. I want to honor you today. I'm ready to hear from you. I'm ready to do whatever you want. Perhaps you've heard this prayer. Dear God, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. And I'm very thankful for that. But in a few moments, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Yeah, we've lived it, huh? I like to use the word day as an acrostic. D-A-Y. The D stands for delight. Delight in the Lord. Seek His face. Enjoy His presence. Expect His blessing. Delight. Delight in the Lord. A, accept. Accept His grace. Accept His power. Accept His provision. Accept His word. And then Y, yield. Yield to the Lord. Yield to the Spirit. Yield to the Scripture. Be listening to the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. Be obedient to the Word. Delight, accept, yield. It's a precious day, so redeem the time. Buy up every opportunity. Make the most of it. And then finally, it is a passing day. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in it. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming when no one can work. He realized he needed to be involved in it because soon it would be after it. And it's too late to do it after it. We're to work while it is day. You can't save it. You can't borrow it. You can't loan it. You can't keep it. You can't store it. All you can do is use it or lose it. Robert Moffat was right on target when he said, we have all eternity to celebrate victories, but only today to win them. We tend to think we're going to go on forever. But life is brief. The Scripture says this in many, many ways. Like the flower that appears and then fades away. Like the ocean wave that comes in and sweeps out. Or I like what James says, it's like a vapor. It appears and vanishes away. Going to spend time with your child? Well, get at it. Do it today. Going to witness to a friend? Get at it. Do it today. Going to encourage a person? Get at it. Do it today. Going to give a gift? Get at it. Do it today. Procrastination is a thief. It sneaks into our lives. It steals our time. It takes away our incentive. It robs us of accomplishments. When I was a teenager, I'll never forget hearing my pastor say, procrastination is a sin that only leads to sorrow. I'm going to stop it. I think I'll start tomorrow. Don't let procrastination control your life. Don't keep putting things off. Tomorrow never comes. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll be glad and rejoice in it. Notice the last two words, in it. It's a passing day. Time goes fast. Time is fleeting. We work while it's day because the night will come when we can no longer work. Notice he does not say we'll be glad after it. There's another point that is very evident in this passage. It's very easy after things are over to be able to look back and say, well, you know, that was pretty tough, but I can see how God did this. And He was with me, and He brought this person to encourage me. And as a result of that, I had a chance to share with another person. And as a result of that, I came to know Christ. And it's just, this is awesome. I'm rejoicing. But when I was in that trial and facing that trouble, not so easy. But He doesn't say, this is the day the Lord has made, we'll be glad and rejoice after it. He says, this is the day the Lord has made, we'll be glad and rejoice in it. And there's another passage that says, be thankful in all things. Not after all things. Be thanks in all things. So it requires us to take a step of faith. Sometimes when we're in the midst of a trial or trouble, we don't know how God's going to work it together for good. At least I don't. And so it causes us to have to trust God in the darkness. But I love the words of an old theologian who one time said, never doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. To rejoice is a choice. The psalmist says, we will rejoice and be glad. It's an intentional choice. There's a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is like a thermometer. Things are going great. I am happy. Things are going bad. I'm defeated. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. That's happiness. It's like a thermometer. It's based on how things are going. But joy is like a thermostat. Joy sets the temperature. Joy says, I love my God. I trust my God. My God is good. My God knows what's best. My God does what's best. My God is with me. My God has guaranteed me an incredible, unbelievable, indescribable eternity. And I'm joyful in Him. The psalmist is choosing to be rejoice and to be glad. In this life, we will have hurts and heartaches. We'll have troubles and trials. We will have problem and pain. But we also have the riches of God's grace. We have the comfort of God's mercy. We have the promise of God's presence. And we have the assurance of God's love. I like the words of Annie Johnson Flint. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hasn't promised sun without rain, or joy without sorrow, or peace without pain, but God has promised strength for the day, rest from the labor, light for the way, grace for the trial, help from above, unfailing kindness, unending love. We have a lot to rejoice in, don't we? Don't we? Amen. Amen. Yes. So it's a passing day. Don't miss out on the joy. Time is brief like a vapor. Don't let it slip through your fingers. Make a choice to rejoice. Choose to be glad. Focus on the Lord. Trust in Him. Make each day count. One of my favorite ornaments, Christmas ornaments when I was growing up, was called a bubble light. It had this little red ball at the bottom, and then a little stem, a tube like straw like thing coming up, is all made out of glass. And though you plugged it in, and the warmer it got in this little heart of it in the ball, then bubbles would come up, and it just keep coming up the top. And the warmer it got, the faster the bubbles came up. And I couldn't see the warmth in the heart, but I could see the bubbles coming up. And I thought to myself, you know, that is like having Christ in me and the joy of the Lord, Martin. You can't see that, but you can see the bubbles coming up. You can't see Christ in me, but you can tell if there's joy. And see somebody living, laughing, loving, smiling, rejoicing. With the teenagers, we used to sing, Jesus' love is bubbling over. The guys in the bass are going, bubbling, bubbling. Jesus' love is bubbling over. That's what I want to see in you. That's what I want you to see in me. Because this is the day the Lord has made, and we'll be glad and rejoice in it. It's a present day, so live in the present. It's a providential day, so trust in the Lord. It's a precious day, so make the most of every opportunity. And it's a passing day, so choose to be glad. Father, thank you that you have given us a reason to rejoice. Thank you that you give us hope. Even in the midst of difficult times or dark days, we have hope, and no one can take it away. And we have Jesus, and no one can take him away. And we have eternal life, and no one can take that away. And we have the promise of heaven, and no one can take that away. Thank you, Father, that you've made this day. We will be glad and rejoice in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.